I saw a woman talking on television a few days ago. She stood in front of a restaurant's stainless steel serving counter smiling. She liked it in Houston, she said. Liked it better than New Orleans. She thinks she'll stay. And thus, she spoke the magic words of residency. It's a simple concept in simpler times, really. Most of us are residents of the state in which we live, where our home is. We are domiciled there. This gives us the right to vote in state elections, to hold a driver's license, to pay in-state tuition, to receive welfare and other benefits. We know our place because our mail finds us and our friends visit us here. But what's mundane for most is a major muddle for those who've crossed borders in a post-Katrina fervor to flee from where home once was. These are the people who now sling hash in Houston, those taken in by churches in Chicago, those who arrived in Battle Creek, Michigan, clearly battle-weary. Where is home, in a legal sense, for them? The answer means much when there are many in need. As I write this, 20,000 new people have asked for state aid in metropolitan Atlanta alone. 2 weeks ago, those folks resided miles away from Georgia residency. And if home is where the heart is, that would leave many newcomers in Georgia and elsewhere empty-handed. Public aid is reserved for state residents. The words residence and domicile have specific definitions that don't make it particularly easy on the newly arrived. A resident, the law often says, is a person who lives in the jurisdiction voluntarily and not for a temporary purpose. Domicile is defined in many places as residency coupled with an intent to always return. We don't then become residents or domiciliaries just because we spend some night someplace, say, in the Astrodome. And that's why those waitresses' words had magic. Just a few years ago, the Supreme Court reiterated poetically that the newly arrived in any state who plan to stay need not cringe or pray for any act of grace, but should benefit as would a long-standing citizen. We have a constitutional right to travel, to move freely from one state to another, after all, and we can decide when to call a new place home. But in a post-Katrina world, the magic words needn't be said with the same sort of passion for the new place as was apparent in the waitress's voice. In fact, they say in Georgia, all the poor need do is show up at a public aid office and tell the person behind the counter that they want to stay. Officials, it seems, have better things to do than ask piercing follow-up questions of those who've made it this far. I'm Amy Guida.